Good evening. This is Peter Tobin introducing Lux Radio Theater. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theater presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. This week we bring you The Man Upstairs by Patrick Hamilton. Studious, gentle George Longford was grateful to his friend Charles Waterbury for the loan of a furnished flat that he hoped would allow him to spend a quiet evening working on his dictionary. His hopes were not to be realized. A ring on the front door bell and the pleasant, tranquil scene soon becomes charged with an atmosphere of violence, brutality, and intimidation. Who was the strange Mr. Armstrong who appeared framed in the doorway? And why, once he was admitted, did he begin to adopt such a sinister, menacing attitude? It is from this moment on that Patrick Hamilton's brilliant radio play begins to make your nerves tingle with excitement and apprehension, and reaches a climax that is as shattering as it is unexpected. The Man Upstairs has been produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Michael Silver. And now, Act One of tonight's Lux Radio Theatre presentation, The Man Upstairs.
The belt of rain coming from the Faroes and arriving in the North Sea will not be welcomed by the North Sea. The North Sea dislikes belts of any kind. As a consequence, the further outlook is absolutely foul for everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How are we doing, George? Can you hear me down there?
Couldn't be better. Clear as a bell.
So that's that little technical confusion cleared up. What's the time, George?
About 7:25, I make it.
7:25? Oh, I've got to get going in a hurry.
What for?
Well, I've got to meet Miss Caroline Audley at the Lord Hood Shepherd's Market at 7:30. You're coming too.
I'm not, you know.
You are, you know.
No, old boy, I really do want a quiet evening.
Oh, can't you step out for once?
No, honestly, Charles, I know a guest ought to do what he's asked, especially when he's only just in the flat beneath you, but we're old chums, and anyway, as I'm a guest in a furnished flat belonging to you, I'll jolly well be a guest in your furnished flat and stay put there, see?
All right. But I'll bet it's all that enormous dictionary of yours at the bottom of it. You can't leave the thing alone, can you?
Well, I do look at it a good deal.
What do you mean, look at it a good deal? You're in love with the thing. Well, so long, George. See you usual time tomorrow, okay?
Yes, usual arrangement. Goodbye, Charles.
Goodbye.
Can you hear me up there?
Hello, George?
Charles, I was wrong about the time. It's pretty nearly 7:45. My wristwatch is crazy. I just thought I'd tell you.
That means I'm going to be late. I've got to fly. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Charles. Oh, no. Wonder who that is.
Mr. Longford? You are Mr. Longford, aren't you? My name's Armstrong. May I come in?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Thank you.
Won't you come and warm yourself by the fire?
Yes. I'm glad I found you in.
Oh, why? Is it important?
No, not particularly. In fact, it's not important at all, really, if you come to think about it.
If it's not important, what is it, Mr. Armstrong? I mean, what can I do for you?
Well, it's not really so much a question of what you can do for me. It's really more a question of what I can do for you. Or perhaps to you, Mr. Longford.
You know, I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Armstrong, but I don't quite get it. Do you mean you've come round here to do something to me? It sounds rather frightening. You haven't come round here to murder me or beat me up or anything like that, have you? I mean, what have you come round for?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all, really. Just to look at you, I suppose.
You know, this is all terribly mysterious. Couldn't you tell me what you're really here for? I hate mysteries, don't you?
No. I love them, as a matter of fact.
Well, I like them in books and plays, but there they're solved, aren't they? You see, I don't even know who you are. Have I met you somewhere before?
No. No, you've never met me. But I have met you, Mr. Longford.
That only makes the mystery deeper, doesn't it?
Well, perhaps I used a slightly wrong expression. I should have said, to be entirely correct, I've seen you, but you haven't seen me. You follow me?
Yes. And where was this?
Oh, quite near here. Very near, in fact.
Oh, yes? Where?
Just round in Shepherd's Market.
Well, that's certainly very near, but what part of Shepherd's Market? In a house, or in the street, or what?
In a house.
Oh, that's funny. I don't know that I've ever been in a house in Shepherd's Market. I don't lead much of a social life, you know. What sort of house?
Oh, a very unusual sort of house. Ah, sandwiches.
I say, those are my sandwiches, you know.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
You know, Mr. Armstrong, you seem to be behaving rather strangely.
Yes, perhaps I do. But there you are. I mean, one must take it or leave it. Mustn't one?
Yes, apparently one must. However, we were talking about the house where you saw me, and I didn't see you. You said, I think, that it was a very unusual sort of house.
Quite correct, yes.
Then will you please tell me what house? This is getting extremely tiresome, you know.
Certainly I will. But don't get angry, Mr. Longford.
Well, what about this unusual house?
Well, what I should have said is that it's not a private house. That's all that's unusual about it.
Not a private house? What could that be, then?
A public house, Mr. Longford. That's simple enough, isn't it?
A public house? Ah, the Black Miller.
Yes, yes it is.
You know, Mr. Armstrong, I don't want to be difficult in any way, but why couldn't you have said straight out that you'd seen me in the Black Miller? Why you've had to go all that roundabout way of telling me, I simply don't understand.
Oh, well, I suppose I'm naturally a roundabout sort of man. I'm sorry if I've puzzled you.
No, not at all. But now it's all over. Can't we come to the point?
What point, exactly?
Well, I mean, why are you here? Is it important or not? I mean, what does it matter if you saw me and I didn't see you round at the Black Miller?
Well, I'll explain, shall I?
Please.
I will. Don't hurry me. You see, it's not so much a question of my seeing you. It's a question of the person I saw you with.
Oh, who was that?
Ah, very important person. To me, at any rate.
Yes, but who? Who was he?
He or she.
Oh, you mean a girl or a woman?
I do, yes, a girl.
I see. Now let me think. What girls have I met in the Black Miller? Oh, I can't think of any at the moment. Oh, yes, I can, though. There's a girl I talk to a lot.
Yes, I know you do, yes.
Yes, that's right. We're great chums. What about it?
Do you know her name?
Yes, Brenda something. I just call her Brenda. She calls me George.
And what is your opinion of her?
I think she's extraordinarily nice. In fact, I hope I'm going to run into her again. Extremely nice and extremely intelligent.
And anything else?
In what way?
Well, didn't she strike you as being extremely beautiful?
Well, now I come to think of it, I'd say she was. Very pretty.
Beautiful, actually, was the word I used.
Very well. Beautiful, probably.
Perhaps something more than extremely beautiful?
More than extremely beautiful? That's asking a lot. What could that be?
Extremely innocent, Mr. Longford.
Innocent? Well, you know, I don't know about these things.
You can't recognize an innocent look when you see one, Mr. Longford?
I don't know. Perhaps I could. It just never struck me with Brenda, whatever her name is.
Really? How odd.
Tell me, Mr. Armstrong, something's just come across my mind. Two things, in fact.
Yes? What are they?
Well, you don't think there's anything between this very nice girl and me, do you? Because I can assure you there isn't, you know.
And the other thing which crossed your mind?
Well, I was wondering, to use the same expression, whether there's anything between you and her. You see...
Yes, go on.
Well, that would account for a lot, wouldn't it?
For what?
Well, for your rather strange attitude ever since you've been here.
How strange?
Just strange, slightly hostile. I might almost say menacing at moments. I mean, if you were in love with her or something, then that might account for it. Are you in love with her?
I should be guilty of a great crime if I were, Mr. Longford. The innocent girl in question is my sister. As you seem not to know it, I may tell you that her surname is Armstrong.
Oh, I see. And I see you use the word innocent again, and that, as her brother, you might have a suspicion of some sort.
Explain yourself.
Well, you might in some way suspect that someone is attempting to deprive her of her innocence. And more than that...
What more?
That it's I who am attempting, or have attempted, to do the depriving. And if that's so, may I here and now assure you you're mistaken?
Oh, yes, you can assure me, yes.
That sounds as though you doubt my word. So may I here and now repeat that nothing of the sort has taken place, or will take place. And if that's all you've come round to talk to me about, the conversation can close here. I wanted a quiet evening. Don't you think it'd be better if you had a quiet evening, too, and went home? I mean, it's all so silly, isn't it?
You know, I think I will change my mind and join you in a drink after all.
Oh, all right. Certainly. I'll get you one.
No.
What?
I'll get it myself. Now, have you any whiskey here? Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. And soda. Excellent. Yes, this is what I need.
Mr. Armstrong.
Yes?
Do you know that good whiskey is very expensive these days?
Oh, yes.
And do you know that that whiskey belongs to me?
Of course. Who else would it belong to? Unless you'd stolen it. Unless you deprived someone else of it. Unless you were, after all, a depriver, Mr. Longford.
Oh, dear. Now you seem to be harping back to that.
What are you talking about, Mr. Longford? You're one ahead of me.
Your sister. I gather you're reverting to that matter.
Now, what on earth should make you think that?
You used the words deprived, Mr. Armstrong. Depriver. A moment ago, that word was used in connection with your sister.
Ah, yes, delicious. No, you're imagining things, Mr. Longford. Why shouldn't I use the word deprived twice? It's a very nice word.
Mr. Armstrong.
Yes?
Would you like to finish off that drink as soon as possible and then go home?
Well, I shall certainly finish off the drink if I may. Why, what a good-looking little man you are. I'm not surprised at the girls falling for you. Yes, a remarkably good-looking little man. Little, of course, is the operative word.
Here, Mr. Armstrong, do you know I don't like having my cheeks pinched?
A cheek, Mr. Longford, not cheeks. Let us be precise. I only pinched one of your cheeks. And why should you resent it? It's a sign of affection. Napoleon used to pinch his soldiers' cheeks, you know.
Mr. Armstrong, have you come round here just to talk about Napoleon?
But what more interesting topic could there be? I mean, what is wrong with an interesting and disinterested and peaceful conversation? Let's have a peaceful conversation. Why don't you have another drink? Are you interested in cricket, Mr. Longford?
Yes, very. Are you?
Oh, yes, I am. Tell me, what is your view of the test matches between this country and the continent of Australia?
Well, lately, we seem to have been putting up a pretty good show, it seems to me.
You say we. That means England, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yes, naturally. But it sounds a little funny to me. You see, I am Australian, and think of it the other way round. I think of Australia as we.
Oh, I see. You don't speak like an Australian.
Well, in point of fact, I'm not Australian, technically. It's just that I was born there and I've spent most of my life here. I think of myself that way.
Oh, yes? Well, here's your very good health. Of course, the last two tests have been played under freak conditions, haven't they?
And yet I like freak conditions in cricket. It's so much more exciting. I wish they'd make the conditions even more freak.
I'm not sure you're not right. What alterations would you personally make? Have you any ideas in mind?
Yes, I have. One in particular. I feel very strongly about it.
Oh, yes? What's that?
Well, why not alter the light, for instance?
The light? How on earth could you do that? That's a question of luck, isn't it? How could you arrange the light in a cricket match?
Well, why not, for instance, have it all played underneath the moon?
The what?
The moon.
Well, I must say that's an original idea.
I'm an original man, Mr. Longford.
I mean, how would you see?
Oh, not at all difficult. It's very easy when the moon is really bright and the night's clear. Then, if necessary, you could have the ball painted white. Then you could have white stumps and white balls and white scoring boards with the figures in black and so on and so forth.
Well, if it comes to that, one might have all the spectators painted white, mightn't one?
You know, that's not at all a bad idea. It never struck me. I have an impression, however, that you're not taking me seriously. Why?
Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Longford.
Tell me something. You said you were a very peaceful man.
No one more, sir. Go on.
Well, it's rather hard to put. But have you been suffering from any sort of nervous upset lately? I mean, something you might see a doctor about. Something which just required rest. I mean, oughtn't you to go home and have a good rest now?
I see what you mean. You're suggesting that I'm out of my mind. Aren't you?
No, but I think you may be, purely for the time being, a little upset.
In other words, raving mad. I don't mince matters, Mr. Longford. I know every thought that goes on in your head. And I can assure you that I'm certainly not a madman. I'm afraid you took my perhaps rather silly little joke about playing cricket under the moon quite seriously.
Oh, was it a joke? I'm sorry. I'm losing my sense of humor, I'm afraid.
You certainly are. And I can promise you that in addition to being sane generally, I've never been saner in my life than at this moment. Perhaps a little too sane and shrewd for you.
About what?
My sister.
Oh, dear. Have we got to go back to that again?
No, not just at the moment. At the moment, we're just conversing, aren't we? I like conversing with you. It's useful, too. It enables me to go on looking at you, to sum you up.
Listen to me, Mr. Armstrong. I do not like strangers coming into my flat to look at me and to sum me up. I still do not know whether you are a maniac or whether you really have something to say to me. If you have, will you please say it quickly and then clear out? If you don't, I shall have to take other measures.
And what would they be, pray?
I shall telephone for the police and have you slung out. They come very quickly nowadays, you know.
Yes, but you strike a major difficulty there, don't you?
What?
How would you get to the telephone? And if you should manage to scramble to it in time, how would you manage to dial 999 before being beaten to a pulp by your present guest?
Very well, Mr. Armstrong. There's another more peaceful alternative. I'll just leave you to it. I shall walk out of my flat and let you stew in your own juice.
Yes, but how would you get to the door? I may be large, but I'm remarkably quick, you know. And now, Mr. Longford, the session will continue as before. Now, on second thoughts, not quite as before. You can get me, my dear good-looking man, another whiskey. Come along now, here's the glass.
I will not get you another whiskey.
You heard my words.
You heard mine.
Very well. I'll get it myself. It really doesn't matter.
You will not go near that sideboard.
Sit down, Mr. Longford.
I will do nothing of the sort.
I said sit down, Mr. Longford. Sit down on that chair, that one.
I'll die before I do that, Mr. Armstrong.
Yes, that is exactly what you may do. Now sit down on that chair. Sit down on that chair!
I said I'd... Hello. That's the bell, isn't it?
Yes. So it seems...
I wonder who it could be.
Yes. Yes, I wonder. I have a guess, though.
Shall I go and answer it?
Yes. Perhaps you'd better.
My boy was in here, Mr. Longford.
So he was. He's probably gone through that door. It leads to the kitchen. You're Mrs. Armstrong, I take it.
Yes, but please don't let's bother about names at the moment, Mr. Longford. Cyrus? 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 My son, come out from the kitchen. Don't pretend to yourself that you can hide from me. If you don't obey... Now come out to your mother. I shall give you 15 seconds. I'm beginning to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah, here you are at last. Don't stand like that. Hold yourself up.
Yes, mother.
Put your hands behind your back.
Yes, mother.
What are you doing here?
I don't know, Mother.
Don't tell me you don't know. What are you doing here?
I came to see Mr. Longford.
Didn't I tell you to stay in your room tonight until I came back?
Yes, Mother.
Then why didn't you?
I don't know, Mother.
Hold yourself up.
Yes, Mother.
And when you go to your room, you will do your usual exercises. Only tonight, you would do them 6 times. Thoroughly. Do you understand? Thoroughly.
Yes. Yes, I understand, Mother.
Very well. You may go now. But first of all, you will apologize to Mr. Longford.
How do I apologize, Mother?
Look at him straight in the eyes and say, I'm sorry, Mr. Longford.
I'm sorry, Mr. Longford.
That's quite all right.
Good. Very well. Now go. And on the way, you are not to look back. Not once, you understand?
Yes, Mother.
Very well. Go on, quickly. I shall come to your room later tonight. If you've obeyed me in every particular, you may be forgiven. Now go.
Well, that was one of the most remarkable...
One moment. All right, he's gone. Now, Mr. Longford, do you mind just for a minute if we have all the lights out in here?
The lights out?
Yes.
Well, you know, it seems to me that I'm in a sort of madhouse. Must we have all the lights out?
Yes, you are in a sort of madhouse, Mr. Longford, and a very dangerous one. And I am here to save you from it, to save everybody concerned. I'll explain everything in a minute. And in the meantime, will you do as I ask? And quickly, will you?
Very well.
You see, I am the only one who can control him. I am the only one who knows his mind, and I must use my own methods. You see, I want to watch him from the window without him seeing me, to see if he obeys me and does not look back as I told him. And if he does look back and sees me watching, he'll think I'm afraid and I might lose half the battle. I have to make him think that I think he obeys me absolutely without question. Yes. There he goes. Yes. It's all right. I can tell by his walk. Come here and watch him. You see? He's like a soldier on parade. There. Yes. That's all right. You can put on the light again now, will you?
Now, Mrs. Armstrong, could you explain? Could you explain all this? It's all very confusing, you know.
One moment, Mr. Longford. I'm not feeling very well. I'm feeling faint. You don't know what a strain it is. You feel worse when it's just over.
Yes, I understand. I'm sorry. Now, come and sit down by the fire, won't you? You can explain later.
Thank you. It's only the shock. Only the strain. I'll be all right in a moment.
I'll get you a drink. A little brandy.
Thank you, Mr. Harford. A very small one.
Good. Fine.
What did he do and talk to you about, Mr. Harford?
Oh, a lot of things.
Did he talk about the moon?
Why, yes, he did, as a matter of fact. How do you know?
I'll explain later. And did he talk about his sister?
Yes, he talked a lot about her.
Yes, so I thought. Oh, thank you. I'm quite myself again now.
Good. I can't say that I am. You know, I'm a bit shaken still, I must say. Now, Mrs. Armstrong, do you feel up to explaining?
Yes, Mr. Longford. May I ask you a question? After what you've just been through... It may seem a nonsensical one, as nonsensical as anything he said, but it isn't, and I must ask it.
Yes?
Mr. Longford, do you believe in the moon?
I'm awfully sorry, but I don't follow you, Mrs. Armstrong. The moon, believe in it? Of course I do. It's just there. It exists.
No, I don't really mean that. I mean its powers. You see, unless you do, I can't really begin to explain. I mean, it affects the tides and all that, doesn't it?
Yes.
But it's other powers, Mr. Longford. It's other, much more dreadful powers. It's powers on the mind. Mr. Longford, do you believe in the moon? Oh, say you believe in it. Mr. Longford... Say you believe in the moon. Say you believe in the moon. Oh, Mr. Longford. I'm ashamed of myself. I never dreamt I could break down in that way. I was taught never to break down, ever.
Well, everybody has to break down sometime, don't they? It's a very normal thing.
Not in my family. We were what people used to call a family of soldiers. However, I mustn't talk of the past... We are in the present, and a very real and urgent present for both of us.
Yes. You said you were going to explain. Just tell me quietly, in your own time.
He talked of his sister?
Yes.
And her innocence?
Yes.
And did he mention Napoleon?
Why, yes, he did.
And then he talked about the moon?
Yes.
Tell me, Mr. Longford, do you know anything about psychiatry?
What do you mean? Freud, Jung, all that?
Do you know it's an established fact that certain people are affected sometimes in a violent and dangerous way by certain phases of the moon?
No, I wouldn't say established. I should say it's quite likely, but not a certainty.
I know it's a fact. I have reason to know. Mr. Longford, do you know what psychiatrists call a fixation?
Why, yes, a fixed idea, an idée fixe. It's a form of mania.
Yes, it is. And sometimes extremely dangerous to another person.
Yes, I suppose. Yes, do go on.
This is what is not easy for me to say to you, Mr. Longford.
Never mind, go on.
My son has a fixation, Mr. Longford. A very violent and dangerous one.
And what's it about?
About yourself, Mr. Longford.
Oh, I must say that's not frightfully pleasant news, is it?
No, and I'm afraid that's not the worst.
Really? Tell me, what form does his fixation take?
He thinks you've stolen something, Mr. Longford.
So I rather gathered. It's all getting clearer now. In other words, Mrs. Armstrong, we must put things bluntly, mustn't we? In other words, your son's completely out of his mind and thinks I've robbed your daughter of her innocence.
No, no, he's not out of his mind, he's not. It's only the moon, don't you see?
Now, please, don't get upset again, Mrs. Armstrong. It's really for me to be upset. You've just said that you haven't told me the worst.
The moon is everything. These phases come in cycles every 7 years. Normally, he's harmless, good. I know his history, you see.
Very well, then. Tell me his history, Mrs. Armstrong.
Cyrus was born in Australia, Mr. Longford, one of twins. I'll tell you about the other boy, Harry, later. He is absolutely normal, thank heavens. Cyrus.
Yes?
It began when he was 8. He was an enormous boy. Even at that age, you'd hardly believe his size. It was freakish.
And what happened when he was 8?
There was an episode, Mr. Longford.
Oh, yes?
An episode with an animal of atrocious cruelty, a cat. I can't go into it. My husband beat him for it, beat him fearfully. It was a mistake. Such things cannot be treated that way. Then, for 7 years, he was normal. A good, gentle boy. But then, he began to talk of the moon again, to go out and look at it for hours and... Oh, I can hardly bear to speak of it.
Do try, Mrs. Armstrong.
There was another episode. We had to move from Sydney. Then he was normal again, utterly normal. Until the age of 22.
And then there was another episode, as you call it?
There was. Oh, yes, indeed there was.
And then?
Normal again, until he was 29. Then he began to talk of the moon again. And this time, it was definitely connected in his mind with his sister. It was only then that I began to realize that there was some connection between these incidents and the moon. To realize that they took place every 7 years. Well, that is all, really. Then he joined the commandos. He has a record of great bravery and distinction. And now... he is 36.
And 29 from 36 leaves 7.
Yes.
Every 7 years, you say.
Yes.
This is a funny thing to happen to anybody trying to have a really peaceful evening by himself, isn't it?
It's horrible, Mr. Longford. It's horrible.
Yet, Mrs. Armstrong?
Yes.
You spoke of certain episodes. What sort of episodes? What does he do?
Oh, no. Please don't go into that.
But, Mrs. Armstrong, after all, it's not fair to me, is it? I mean, the unknown's worse than the known, isn't it? Does your son carry a revolver or anything?
No, no. It's much more horrible than that, Mr. Longford.
Your son was a commando?
He was, yes.
That means an expert in unarmed combat.
Yes, Mr. Longford. An extreme and excruciating expert. Will you leave it at that?
Mrs. Armstrong, are you trying to be cruel? All this dreadful hinting.
Mr. Longford... let me put it this way. You are in danger of awful disfigurement. disfigurement which will cause you physical agony such as few men on this earth have ever had to suffer, and which will leave you with no further desire to live. Now, will you let that suffice?
Oh, well, I suppose I'll have to. You've made things fairly plain on the whole, I think. Have you consulted a doctor or the police about your son's condition?
No, I haven't.
But why not? That seems rather unfair to society at large and to me in particular.
Oh, Mr. Longford, I have 1,000 excuses. I'm his mother, and I deceived myself after each incident that he was mentally well.
I see. It seems as though I'm rather up against it, doesn't it?
You must go away, Mr. Longford, now. You must go where he can never find you. It'll only be for 3 months. You must hide. You must go tonight.
But Mrs. Armstrong, this is fantastic. There must be some other alternative.
Yes, actually there's one other. Oh, but that's not worth discussing. The plain thing is for you to pack your things now and go.
But the whole thing's ridiculous. First of all, I haven't enough money. And I can't suddenly throw up my business and take 3 months' holiday.
Mr. Longford, wouldn't it be better to risk your business than take this dreadful risk?
I see. Now, let's try and take things a little more easily. We got panicky. But I think I'm a little calmer now. It seems to me that there are a lot of ways out, apart from the one you suggest. I have 3 in mind, actually. Firstly, if he cares to assault me in any way, it's not quite impossible that I could defend myself, is it? I, too, was in the army, you know.
No, you couldn't, Mr. Longford. He has been very expertly trained.
Yes, a commando. I appreciate the difficulty. Very well, then. I have friends. I could go and stay with them, couldn't I?
And what about when you were out in the streets, alone? You have to go to your work.
But surely he wouldn't do anything to me in public, Mrs. Armstrong.
Oh, yes, he could. He's as quick as lightning, though he may not look it.
But suppose I got friends to escort me in the street?
Utterly useless, utterly. You don't know the things he's done.
You know, if you'd only tell me what he does, all this would be so much more simple, wouldn't it?
He has many methods, Mr. Longford. Among other things, he can strike from a distance. He can throw.
What do you mean? Boomerangs or something?
And your third and last alternative, Mr. Longford.
Do you mean boomerang?
No, go on. Your last alternative.
Why, the simplest of the lot. And it's for you to do.
What is it?
Ring up the police, Mrs. Armstrong. Now, ring them up and tell them the entire story.
Oh, no, Mr. Longford. The police are no good. They could not prevent your disfigurement.
What do you mean, the police are no good? I've got to have protection, and that is what the police are for, isn't it? Come to think of it, I can ring the police myself.
No.
Why?
The police are practical men. The police do not believe in the moon. Besides, I am a mother, Mr. Longford. And my unhappy boy, cursed by the moon, is not going to end his last few years in any sort of dark prison. If you telephone the police, I should deny everything.
His last few years, you said?
Yes.
Why? Do you imagine he's going to die before long?
I know he is.
How?
My son, strong as he is, suffers with his heart, Mr. Longford, fatally. He cannot possibly live for more than another 3 years.
You seem to have an answer for everything, haven't you, Mrs. Armstrong?
Yes, it seems that I have. There's only one course. You must go. Go now.
But, Mrs. Armstrong, I can't. I told you. Even if I had the money to go away for 3 months, even if I used up all my savings, I can't give up my job here.
You have savings?
Why, yes, of a very modest sort.
Oh, that's the telephone.
I know. But why are you so frightened, Mrs. Armstrong?
It may be Brenda. It must be her.
Why must? Let's go and see, anyway. Hello? What? No, it isn't. Who do you want? No, my name's Longford. That's quite all right. Thank you. There you are. It was only a wrong number. No need for panic.
I'm sorry. I had an awful feeling it was Brenda and that he'd broken out.
Well, you were wrong, weren't you?
Yes, I'm sorry. Now, where were we?
We were talking about my savings, as a matter of fact. You asked if I had any.
Oh, yes. That was it.
Why did you ask?
Oh, nothing.
Some while back, you know, you said there was one other alternative of some sort. Was that alternative connected with my savings?
Mr. Longford, there are certain things to which I shall not descend.
Mrs. Armstrong, please.
Very well. If you must have it.
Yes?
Mr. Longford, you said you had modest savings. How modest are they?
Oh, very much so.
Yes, but what does that mean?
Mrs. Armstrong, shall I tell you exactly how much I've got in the bank at the moment?
Oh, no, I didn't mean to bring the subject up.
Yes, you did, indirectly, and I'm glad you did. So shall I tell you?
Very well, Mr. Longford, if you insist. How much money exactly have you got in the bank at this moment?
£640.
You have all that? I thought you said you were an extremely poor man. You see, I have little more than what I stand up in.
What you do stand up in doesn't look too bad to me.
Thank you for the compliment, Mr. Longford.
Well, now I've told you the amount of my savings, what about it?
Mr. Longford, £640.
What are you so excited about, Mrs. Armstrong? Do you mean that that amount of money means that you see a way out of all this?
No, not at all. Nothing like it. But £280, that's all that's needed. No, less than that. Much less. My other son, Harry, his twin brother, can manage 70. Now, how much does that make?
210.
Yes, not a penny more. Now, listen, Mr. Longford. We have a passage for Cyrus and myself to Australia. My son Harry is in shipping and has arranged it. We only wanted the money. A passage for the day after tomorrow, Mr. Longford. Actually, Harry comes back from Liverpool tonight. In fact, he should be back by now. Now listen, I can get Cyrus, my poor sick boy, away by the night train tomorrow. You'll be free, Mr. Longford, forever. He'll go, you see. He keeps on saying that he has to see the moon again as it rises over Sydney. It's his poor brain. Mr. Longford, this is the way out. £210, only to lend, Mr. Longford. You'll get it back. I'll work my fingers to the bone to give it back to you. And you're free from this terrible menace. Who's that?
I know who it is, all right. He always knocks like that.
Oh, dear, must you let anyone in now? Can't you pretend you're not at home?
No, it's all right. It's only my friend, the one who's lent me this flat. I'll see what he wants. I'm coming.
Oh, I'm frightfully sorry. I didn't know you were sort of... am I interrupting you? I won't be half a moment.
No, not a bit. This is Mrs. Armstrong. Sir Charles Waterbury.
How do you do?
I was telling you about him, wasn't I, Mrs.
Yes,
Armstrong?
Yes, you were.
Caroline and I are going away tonight. We've suddenly decided to take a car down to Maidenhead and hit it up for a bit. So you won't be seeing me tomorrow after all right?
Oh, how long are you going for?
Oh, about 4 days.
4 days?
Yes. What's the matter? Don't tell me you're going to miss me. You who spend your whole life dodging people.
No, I just didn't realize you were going away all that time, that's all.
Well, neither did I until about 10 minutes ago. Well, I must fly. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Armstrong. Sorry our meeting's been so short.
Goodbye, Sir Charles.
Goodbye, George. See you around Tuesday next week.
Charles?
Yes?
No, it's nothing important. You go off and enjoy yourself.
Well, goodbye all.
Goodbye, Sir Charles. Mr. Longford?
Yes?
Why did you call Sir Charles back just then?
It was an impulse to confide in him. Now I sort of feel my last prop's gone.
But, Mr. Longford, didn't I tell you that help of that sort was of no use whatsoever?
Yes, I'm sorry.
You shouldn't have done that, you know, Mr. Longford. It looks as though you don't trust me. Mr. Longford, look at me, will you? Do you trust me? Oh, say you do.
Mrs. Armstrong, I not only trust you, I'm going to prove it in a very concrete way. How soon do you want the money? To tell the truth, Mrs. Armstrong, I want to get this over pretty quickly. I'm afraid it sounds a rather harsh thing to say, but the sooner I see the last of you, the better. And I could give you the money tonight.
But I don't want it tonight, Mr. Longford. You've got to see my son Harry first. In any case, you've got to have some sort of security in writing. Could you see him tomorrow morning?
Couldn't I see him tonight?
Yes, I suppose so, but I don't know if he's back.
Well, couldn't we find out?
How? Do you mean I should go around now? That's Brenda. I know it is this time. Shall I answer it?
But Mrs. Armstrong, it might easily be someone...
No, I have a feeling. I know these things.
Very well, you answer it, Mrs. Armstrong.
Yes? Oh, Brenda, dear. Brenda? Yes. Brenda, what are you saying? Yes, go on. Yes, yes. I know, my dear. Yes. I see. Now, Brenda, keep your head and listen to me. It'll be all right. It'll take him 4 minutes to get to Brook Street. I shall be there to intercept him and send him back. Have absolutely no fear, do you understand? Now, we must bring off. Every moment counts. Yes, goodbye, darling, goodbye. It has happened.
What?
He's disobeyed me. I've lost my authority. He's broken out. He's on his way round here now.
So he's on his way
now? Now, there's no time to lose, Mr. Longford. We're both in great danger. I must go and intercept him. Mr. Longford, will you do exactly as I say, please?
Why, yes, of course.
Very well. Bolt the front door and lock that one. It has a lock, hasn't it?
Yes.
And that one?
Yes.
Very well. Now, Mr. Longford, do not go near the window. Go nowhere near the window. And keep your lights low. Once he's safely home, I shall come back and ring in a special way. I shall give three rings, then silence, then three rings again. You follow?
Yes. Three rings, then a silence, then three.
That's it. We're too late.
That was in the kitchen.
Your kitchen window. Tell me, is it possible to climb up from the street to your kitchen?
By the drainpipe? No.
Good. Now to think quickly. He'll be lurking in the doorway. I'll find him, have no fear. I'll find him and send him back. You do just what I said before. Barricade yourself. I shall return in 10 minutes if all goes well. Now I must go. But he may be outside your front door by now. So lock this door when I've left. You understand?
Yes. Charles? Is that you, Charles?
Yes, my boy, it is.
I thought you'd gone to Maidenhead.
Never mind about that. You're a very silly boy, you know.
What do you mean?
You forgot to switch off when we were talking earlier tonight.
Did I?
You laid yourself open to being eavesdropped upon from here. I think you're going to be very grateful.
Oh, I'm in a pretty blue funk, I can tell you. Wouldn't you be, Charles?
Yes, I certainly would.
Well?
I mean, I would if I really believed in it.
What do you mean?
Did it never occur to you during the evening that there was something bogus about it all?
Well, perhaps just once or twice.
Oh, when?
When she first began to mention money. And I didn't like the family of soldiers.
No, I didn't like that either.
She's pretty convincing.
Yes, I could hear that. That's why I couldn't resist coming down to have a look at her. I've read about them and this very ugly blackmailing trick they work. If my memory's right, they've done a lot of it and they're wanted for it. Mind you, I'm only working from a hunch, but I've been working very hard on it.
Oh? What have you been doing?
Ringing up all my high-up friends in the police. Hello? She's back early. Now, look, I'll telephone you. I'll pretend I'm drunk, and you pretend you can't get rid of me, and I'll really be giving you your instructions. Got it?
Right.
Yeah, the lady's getting impatient. Now, you'd better go. Goodbye, and good luck.
Oh, Mr. Longford, this is Cyrus's twin brother, Harry.
Hello there. Hello.
Everything's all right now. There's no immediate danger. He's gone into one of his sleeps. It's as though he's almost dead, isn't it, Harry?
Certainly is. So he's in one of those again, eh?
Yes. So we're safe now for 6 hours at least, if not more. Oh, Mr. Longford, whichever you choose, thank you. But whichever you decide, thank you truly and deeply from the depth of a very unhappy woman's heart. Goodbye. I can't trust myself to speak anymore. I'm leaving. Oh, no, let me, just in case. He must know you're here. Just in case, may I?
Yes, of course, if you think so.
Yes? Yes, he is. Who is it, please? Yes, just a moment, please. Just a moment. It's a Mr. Farquharson.
Farquharson? Oh, yes.
Hello. Hello, Ronnie? Yes. Yes, all right. Go ahead. Yes. Look here, Ronnie. Where have you been tonight? You sound as if you had a few.
Shall we go, Mr. Lock?
No, no. No, you can't come round here. I'm busy. I'll be seeing you tomorrow.
What?
Look, I'm going to ring off. Yes, I know you could get round here in 3 minutes, but... What? Now, you go home and sleep it off. Goodbye. Oh, would you believe it? On top of it all, that was my partner. It's about business.
What? Not... Money trouble again?
No, not that. But it means that I've got to sit up all night and work out figures. It's got to be quick, quick. Oh, this on top of everything, this. Now, listen, I'm just about done in tonight. I'm afraid my nerves are going gone. I'm going to give you the money now. I have it in cash.
But Mr. Longford, we
no,
don't...
No, please.
Let me have my way, please. For once, tonight. I can get the money in a moment. It's in this drawer over here. Here now. There you are. Now, will you go away and take him to Sydney or wherever it is and promise you'll never come back? Never. Go on, promise.
Why, don't take on so, Mr. Longford.
Never mind. But will you promise? Will you promise?
Oh, yes, of course.
Come along now, Harry. Goodbye, Mr. Longford. You're all right, aren't you? I hate to see you looking like that. You're not ill, are you? Oh, we can't help you in any way, can we?
In one way, perhaps you can.
Yes, yes, anything. What can we do?
Oh, just listen to something.
Yes. What do you want to say?
No, I don't mean listen to me.
Not you? Who then?
Yourself, Mrs. Armstrong. Your earlier self. When you were about an hour younger and speaking to these four walls.
I don't follow you.
Or rather, eight walls, to be precise. Eight walls and one person and one thing. Above all, a thing. Shall we listen? Yes, do let's.
All right, Charles, is it okay?
Yes, here we are, just a sec. Right, here we go.
Listen, here we are.
With a cat. I can't go into it. My husband beat him for it. Beat him fearfully. It was a mistake. Such things cannot be treated that way. Then, for 7 years, he was utterly normal again. A good, sweet, gentle boy. But then, when the 7 years had passed, he began to talk of the moon again.
No! Will you stop that noise? Will you stop it? Who is up there?
How can I speak of it?
Oh, surely you know, Mrs. Armstrong. I'm just the man upstairs. We've met, don't you remember? But I didn't go to Maidenhead. I stayed and got down every word you said.
All right, I'll tell them, Charles. He telephoned the police.
The police? Do something, Joe! Sigh! Do something, Jim! The gate's up anyway, so do something!
Oh, yes, Vera. That's not a bad idea. I may not be the big commander I advertise, but I'm certainly big enough for this little gentleman, I fancy.
Hello, what goes on down there?
A great deal, Sir Charles, and the door's locked, and there's nothing you can do about it. Go on, sigh. Do something to him. Tear him to little pieces.
Yes, yes, I like the idea of that.
You won't get anywhere that way, you know, either of you. It'll only make things worse. In fact...
Shut up there! Go on, son.
Yes, don't hurry me. It's just a question of what it's going to be. Now, come here, Mr. Longford. I said, come here, Mr. Longford. I said, come here! So, you've obeyed me, I see.
Yes, only too glad to obey you. So Harry and his twin are one and the same person. Right, Cyrus?
Don't call me Cyrus.
Cyrus, the commando who wasn't one. You know, Cyrus, when I thought you were one, I was afraid of you. But now I've got to grips with the real Cyrus, I'm not a bit frightened. Cyrus is a very large man, but he was not a commando. Whereas George Longford, never actually a commando, learned a lot about judo. You did strike it unlucky tonight, didn't you, Cyrus? Are you enjoying this? Oh, I imagine not. Very well. When I release you, you will obey me and go and sit down in the chair by the fire. Very well. You may go. No, I said the armchair by the fire. And put my money back on the table.
Well done, George. I thought you could do that. Well, that seems to be the end of the evening, doesn't it?
No, Charles. That's the funny thing. It's not quite. Come here, Mrs. Armstrong. I said, come here, Mrs. Armstrong.
What are you doing, George?
I'm doing a lot, Charles. To Mrs. Armstrong, who recently so strongly advocated something being done to me. In fact, Charles, I'm going to rob Mrs. Armstrong of her facial charms. Her somewhat maturing facial charms. I'm sure that one who comes from a family of soldiers can endure such a thing.
Oh.
Now, Mrs. Armstrong, close your eyes and put back your head. I'm now going to start counting, and I may tell you that every number after three will be an added disfigurement. Your own words, Mrs. Armstrong, to your face. Now, one, two...
Help me! Sai! Help me!
He's only fluffy. He's not the type.
But that's just what I am, Cyrus, as I shall now demonstrate. Now, Mrs. Armstrong, the operation begins. You come, never forget it, from a family of soldiers. Now keep quite still, please.
What are you going to do to my face? What are you doing? Sai! What has he done? Tell me!
nothing. I told you he was only bluffing. I don't know why you yelled. I don't know what he was using on you.
I was using H2O, Cyrus. Water. Iced. Your charming colleague seems to have got the impression that I was using a knife. Charles, are you still listening up there? Did I fool you too?
Yes, you did, George.
As she'll probably only get about 11 years in prison, I thought I'd give her about 11 seconds of real torture. You see, just as ice is the same as a knife with your eyes shut, Mrs. Armstrong, so fear is the same as hell.
Oh. Please. All right, sir, we'll take care of him. Come on, mate.
Take care of him. Hands off me. Take care of him. I'll get you for touching.
Charles?
I didn't know you were quite like that, George.
Didn't you? And I don't regret it for a moment.
Yes, so I gather. Well, well, all this has rather spoiled your quiet evening, hasn't it?
No, just interrupted it. I hope I'm going to have it now. Now, where's my dictionary? Perhaps a little music on the radio.
All right, George. I'm off. Goodbye. See you tomorrow.
Goodbye, old boy, and thank you.
Not at all. Goodbye.
In tonight's presentation of The Man Upstairs, you heard Bruce Miller as George Longford. Cyrus Armstrong was played by Donald Monat, and Marjorie Gordon took the part of his mother. Stuart Brown was Sir Charles Waterbury. The Man Upstairs by Patrick Hamilton was produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Michael Silver.